This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Northwest Terror Fest is back for 2024. That's going down Thursday, May 9th, Friday, May 10th, and Saturday, May 11th. Three-day tickets available now, or you can get your one-day pass. And one of my favorite heavy metal bands, Eternal Champion, is going to be playing the Numo stage on Friday, May 10th, right before Forbidden, like classic Bay Area thrash band. So I got on the Zoom and chatted with Mr. Jason Tarpey, vocalist of Eternal Champion. Enjoy and go see them Friday, May 10th at Northwest Terror Fest 2024.
It's Metal Shop here on KISW right now. I'm talking with Jason Tarpey, the vocalist of Eternal Champion. They're going to be playing at Northwest Terror Fest. They played here at the Funhouse recently, actually, and maybe like a year ago or so. Badass show. A lot of beers were flying that night. Sing-alongs aplenty. But you guys are going to be playing with a band that you share a lot of members with. Sumerlands is how I pronounce it, right? Sumerlands?
It looked like Sumerlands, but everyone says Sumerlands. So.
Okay.
I don't know. I think that the confusion is like intentional. I think it's
fair enough, man. Yeah. So of course, yeah, the vocalist of Eternal Champion, Northwest Terror Fest is going down in May at Numo's and Barboza. So first off, welcome to the show, man. How are you doing tonight?
Thank you. Doing good.
Awesome, man. So your job is you're a blacksmith. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. I'm a full-time blacksmith. I'm a working on a couple projects right now. They were keeping me late and I was trying to get to the interview on time, so we had to push it back. Just a little info for your viewers, but yeah, I'm working on some knives now and they're kind of tricky. So I have that right here. Actually, this is a little flame knife here. Oh. And so it's really hard to get that edge on that blade since it's, you know, so many curves to it. It's only like 3.5 inches long. So anyway, I'm working on this.
Awesome.
I finished this and that needs a sheath. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I do all kind of steel work. I mean, I do welding and like traditional blacksmith stuff like gates and, you know, hooks, you know, balusters for a staircase. I've made like steel walls before, like retaining walls for planters. Wedding rings I'm making a ton of right now. So that's been keeping me really busy. I guess it's ring season. It's been, I don't know, like a dozen rings in a row before I've made any knives or anything. So.
And you work for yourself?
Yeah, I work for myself here.
Did you go to school for this, or is this something you had to do an apprenticeship for, or how did you get into it?
I did go to school for it, but I didn't even finish. I didn't get the degree or the certificate or whatever. It was through Austin Community College, and they offer a blacksmithing program, and I just went to learn it. I did everything up until the last class. The last class was hard to get into. There's only like, you know, 8 spots in it or something, and so I didn't get in. I just started out, you know, working right away, right out from school. So I didn't even go back and finish. I figured I could learn the rest on my own. So I bought a bunch of books on blacksmithing and read all those and, you know, just kind of learned by doing. When I moved out to this town I live in now called Wimberley, there's a blacksmith out here named Tom, and he let me work in his shop because I didn't have any of the tools I needed. He had, yeah, you know, power hammers and drill presses and stuff like that I didn't have yet. So he let me work in his shop for about a year. And I did learn from Tom, so I got to give him a shout out, you know.
Shout out to Tom.
Mm-hmm. Shout out, Tommy.
So you live in Texas, and you're working with incredibly hot stuff. Like, it's got to just be balls out insanely hot when you're working.
In the summertime, it's a really brutal job, yeah. I don't recommend this. Texas is. I don't know why I'm trying to do this here, but I have this house, so it's kind of hard to move, but. Yeah, the summer it's just brutal. And in the winter, it's a really nice profession being out there. I don't mind being out there in cold weather, working with, you know, hot steel. It's okay. But during the summer, it's brutal. I got to have like a work under a tent or something because my anvils are outside. So I like basically forge outside. And then I might bring a few things into my workshop and work them on in there just to get out from the sun. But usually I just come inside and take a lot of breaks. You know what I mean? Drink a lot of water, you know. Just don't get too hot out there because it's already brutal in Texas, just doing anything outside. But working by the forge and constantly hammering, it's hard work. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You know, kind of just, I saw your other band, Iron Age, a few times. Saw you guys at Sound and Fury. Saw you in the Northwest. Was that the first band you were in as like a kid? Was that the first project you ever did, or were you in bands at an earlier age?
Yeah, I did other bands before Iron Age. I sang in a band called Far From Breaking, and I played bass.
I saw Far From Breaking one time with Desperate Measures.
Oh wow, yeah, awesome. Those were our favorite tours. Those tours with Desperate Measures were like legendary. Those guys are they're all characters, you know what I mean? So that's cool. We played can't remember the name of that club. Was Mental on that show?
Was, yeah, it was Mental, Champion, Desperate Measures. I don't know.
Yep.
I remember so well, but I went up to Vancouver for it. So
yeah, I can't remember the name of the clubs. Oh yeah, I remember the Vancouver show too. Yeah, those were rad, man. Cool, that's very cool that you were there.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
So then Far From Breaking, that was your first band?
Yeah, technically. I played bass in a band at the same time that Far From Breaking was starting called Just Short of Living. Mm-hmm. And so we did a tour together, Far From Breaking and Just Short of Living, which is a lot of ING sure. words. sorry, my cat.
Hey.
You can't be in here. And so, yeah, I played bass in that band, but basically Far From Break was my first band. I started it like right out of high school. I even tried to do a band before that, but it just wasn't working out. But Far From Breaking was the first like band that played a show. You know, we played our first show in San Antonio and at the end of 98, I think, or the very beginning of 99. I want to say it was the end of 98 because then we started playing pretty regularly in 99.
So, you know, obviously Eternal Champions, different vibe than those. Iron Age, a little bit more metal crossover. When did you fall in love with like more traditional heavy metal? Were you always a fan of it, or was it something that was an acquired taste for you?
It was kind of always in the background because San Antonio is such a heavy metal town. It's got such a a history with that. It used to be called the heavy metal capital of the world.
That's San Antonio. I had no idea.
Yeah, in the early 80s, mid 80s, maybe even to the late 80s, I'm sure. But it's just such a rock town, and the radio station there, Kiss, always played classic metal. You know, so I always remember hearing Judas Priest and Iron Maiden and Dio, Black Sabbath were always just on the radio. And there were some cool clubs, like the first club I ever saw a show at was this place, Sneakers. And it was just like a rock club that all these legends had played. And so there's a lot of places like that around San Antonio. It's kind of aware of the lore of the place, you know? And so I guess I kind of always respected that classic heavy metal more than I did like the new, like the modern metal that was around when I was really into hardcore and Far From Breaking was going strong. We were like anti-metal, you know, but that we were anti like metalcore or whatever, you know what I mean? It wasn't like
up at the time. Yeah.
Right. I didn't even know at that time that classic metal was still going. Like that was a scene. I thought that that was just all over. You know what I mean? To me, hardcore was like the most underground stuff ever. And so, you know, well, I was just so into that, that I could have really no talent, no real right to be in a band, like playing music, but yeah, you could just join a hardcore band and just go on tour right away. That was really appealing to me. So, but yeah, I did always like the classic metal. It was just always seemed like kind of out of reach. And then, as Far From Breaking was winding down, we were listening to a lot of heavy New York hardcore, and those bands, it seemed to me, were pulling, and Wade too, who was writing all our music, were like pulling from classic heavy metal. Like Cro-Mags weren't exactly like thrash metal. They were, I don't know, they had more like Seekers of the Truth is I don't know, it's more like a Manowar type thing, you know what I mean? It's like,
hell yeah.
So I don't know that our influence in Iron Age became like the classic heavy metal side of hardcore, you know, and only a few bands had really done that. I can only think of, you know, a few off the top of my head. So we always got the crossover tag because people assumed it was thrash, and there was some thrash we were listening to and being influenced by, but, the classic heavy metal influence was always there. So
when did you discover that you could like actually sing, like, you know, and not just kind of roughly howl or scream?
I don't even know that I can. I'm just flying by the seat of my pants.
Eternal Champion. How did you discover you could do what you do in Eternal?
Iron Age had a few parts on the Sleeping Eye that had like, it just seemed like we needed a clean vocal there. And that was my first time clean singing, was just right there on those spots. And so once I pulled that off, I was like, well, it doesn't really sound like the voice I'd like to have, but you know, it was like a little bit of a clue that maybe I could do something else with it. Like if I worked on it, I could, you know, sing clean in another project. We didn't really put it into the songs we were writing after the Sleeping Eye. It was just like these few little parts had some clean singing, and then we went right back into like just the harsh vocals. But I don't know, I thought maybe I could do something with clean vocals after Iron Age. And then so after Iron Age was done, I was doing this band called Graven Right. We just did a demo, and the vocals on that are just out of tune straight up. Like you can listen to the demo and there's some missed notes, but you know, I was surprised that I could even do it at all. And so Graven Right didn't work out either. And so I formed Eternal Champion with some friends from Houston, Christian and Greg, and my friend Sean from Austin. And I don't know. I think after doing Graven Right, it was a little bit easier to sing clean. I guess it gave me some experience. And I thought about taking vocal lessons, but I was like, nah, you know, it's just, I don't want to care about that too much. I guess coming from hardcore, it's not like that I don't have respect for the heavy metal tradition or whatever, but I didn't want anyone to like influence my singing. I just wanted to have the character it has. You know what I mean? Because I know I'm just getting by on the character of my voice. It's not the technical prowess, you know? And so, I don't know, I just figured I would just keep flying by the seat of my pants, you know what I mean? And we did a demo and I liked it just a little bit more than the Grave and Write demo. I was like, okay, well, we'll record a little single and we did that. And, you know, I kept liking a little bit more. And by the time we got to the LP, I was like, I can't believe I'm singing in a band. This is crazy and doing an LP. So it was a big of a surprise to me as it was anybody else. Yeah.
Awesome, man. So it, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the way that I see Eternal Champion kind of move as a band, and the way that you guys have, you know, really kind of built the band, it seems in a way sort of DIY. How much does the idea of growing up in DIY and hardcore and stuff like that, how much does the idea of DIY play into, you know, how Eternal Champion operates as a band? Is it important to you guys?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we have like agents now, but that's just because it's just gotten like, we can't do it all, you know, anymore, but we probably would if we could.
Things like that, you know.
Right. Yeah. But we still like to have our hands, you know, in on it. Like we still like to, you know, pick openers and stuff like that if we can. But in America, they're like, I don't know. We really like the DIY thing still. Like we still even like just having in general hardcore kids come to the shows and have that element there. And so it's not exactly clear what kind of show it is. Like we love to have stage diving and like not have that separation that heavy metal has between the artist and the crowd. So like, we just want to knock all those barriers down, you know what I mean? And have people come up front and have be more of a shared experience with the crowd and the band. So, I mean, there's that aspect and we kind of run our own label. And so, yeah, you know, we like to put out the American version of our albums. Like we work with artists to do our own merch. Like we don't like to hand that off to anybody else because we're really picky about that. Yeah. And really like to pick the artist who's going to like do justice to the idea or the theme or whatever we're trying to do. So I don't know. There's, we're just all kind of control freaks. So it's just, there's not much that we don't want some say in, you know what I mean? That's, I guess that's still the DIY attitude. And, you know, we still like to play shows where the, it's like a small club. Or we'll play like a barn or something, you know what I mean? If we can, like, so, you know, I guess that just carries over. The hardcore thing will always be with us. It's like what made me who I am. So I can't change it. It's just in there.
That's awesome. I'm glad I asked the question. Now another part of your life, there's so many different elements of we can chat here as a, you're also a novelist. You have written some fantasy novels, and you know, you've put them up on your website and what came first, you know, for you, heavy metal music, or like just heavy music or fantasy novels as a kid? What came first?
Oh, probably music for sure. I mean, I didn't even really start. I was just reading comic books as a kid, you know? And so I got into the Conan comic books and the Conan movies first. It's mostly like movies I was watching. It got me into the fantasy thing. It was mostly like Beastmaster and like Dungeon Master and Deathstalker and, you know, Conan, of course. But it was mostly the comics and that. I didn't start reading till I was in my 20s. It was like H.P. Lovecraft and Robert E. Howard that got me into reading. And I didn't really find out about those authors till I was in my early 20s. And then I read voraciously after I found those two authors, you know.
What's one?
So it was way later in life. Sorry, go ahead.
What's one book that you would suggest for someone that might have not have dived deep into? I mean, for me, for instance, I haven't really gone too much into fantasy novels. What's something you would suggest for me?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
I would get any collection of H.P. Lovecraft's short stories, because all this stuff is best in short form. I think it's best in the short fiction kind of format. The long fantasy books, I really haven't even read those. You know what I mean? The 600-page novels. I would just suggest getting like the Robert E. Howard collections. They're really good. I think Penguin's collected some H.P. Lovecraft stories. You can just get them at any bookstore or off Amazon. There's some good ones on there. I recommend finding the Kane novels by Carl Edward Wagner. He's one of my favorite authors, and those books are just amazing. The band Eternal, the thing we got our name from, Eternal Champion, it's a series of books by Michael Moorcock. And each series follows the incarnation of this soul, the Eternal Champion, who gets kind of incarnated into different people in different times and different dimensions. And the purpose is to kind of serve the balance between law and chaos. And each of these series has a character who embodies the Eternal Champion and kind of has to affect the balance in a different way. Sure. And all the series are very good. I really recommend those. So any of the Elric books are great. I would start with those four.
You got me some place to start.
There you go.
So I gave you a little bit of a primer on this, and this is a Northwest radio show. Favorite Northwest or Seattle band of all time?
So right off the bat, Queensryche comes to mind. So it's probably Queensryche for Seattle specifically, you know. I did love all the grunge bands in the 90s. That's what really got me into music. I'm that perfect age for like Nirvana and Soundgarden and all that stuff. But I also grew up hearing Queensryche, like I said, on the radio.
Yeah.
And that was like one of the only things I can play on guitar is the Silent Lucidity lick. I just saw Queensryche at Hell's Heroes last weekend, and it was just the most jaw-dropping performance. Todd LaTorre sings. It's not the Jeff Tate Queensryche I saw, but
Bip Wilton is so good, dude. Yeah, man.
He was just nailing everything. I've never seen a singer nail it like that. I've seen a lot of great bands. They're just incredible. I couldn't believe they were still on it like that. You know, it's just, it's so precise and amazing. They only played stuff off The Warning in the first EP, and that was it. Just like the prime cut, the whole album, I think, The Warning they played. And Before the Storm, I mean, I couldn't believe they played that. That's like my favorite Queensryche song. It's so cool, man. It's got to be Queensryche. But if I had to pick a hardcore band, I got to say Brotherhood. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. R.I.P. Ron Gardapi.
R.I.P., yeah. Oh.
That would have been really funny if Queensryche would have played a festival like that and not, and like did like just news cuts or like the you know, I've been like, know your audience, you know, but it's just obviously did.
Yeah, they knew their audience. They gave everyone what they wanted. It was just, it was awesome.
What were some other sets you got to check out from Hell's Heroes? Anything else notable?
Yeah, Solitude Eternus made their comeback.
The return.
I mean, it was perfect. It was just perfect. The set list was perfect. Everyone in the band killed it. They played with three guitar players.
Yeah.
Rob sounded amazing on vocals. He just you know, he looked like he was ready for it, you know what I mean? And they just delivered. It was amazing. They played Black Castle. I didn't know what to do with myself. You know, almost like just, I was on the stage. I almost just jumped in the crowd and started killing people.
That's amazing, dude.
Yeah. It was really cool. Our brother band, Summerlins, they also played in the Cirith Ungol. They're on their last little run here. And I got to see them every chance I get. And so I check them out. They're amazing as always. It's just a great festival. Hell's Heroes is like the best festival for this, you know, this kind of thing, you know.
It's such a rich time for heavy metal because for any kind of style, there's so many different subgenres. It's so nerdy, right? We're just such nerds about this stuff. Like, you know, if you want to go to a technical death metal festival, there's a festival curated specifically for you. If you want to go to a traditional heavy metal festival, go to Hell's Heroes. It's like, it's such a cool time to be a fan of underground music.
Yeah, definitely it is. There's something for everybody. And it's just like, everything is like, seems like every genre is kind of doing well. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem like, at least all the ones I pay attention to, at least, you know what I mean? Seems like the kids know what they're doing these days. Like the hardcore scene's doing really well.
Oh yeah.
You know, and the heavy metal scene, it's like, seems like there's a lot of bands, but I think a lot of them are like falling into more of like a retro kind of thing instead of like really like standing out, having like their own identity. I mean, there's sure a lot of those bands that do, but out of the giant swath of heavy metal bands, it seems like it's kind of a look, you know, they're kind of looking back too much, you know, if that makes sense.
No, I get that for sure. You can give like homage to the past, but you still gotta like maybe, you know, create.
You gotta have your own thing, you know, you gotta figure out what that is.
So, you know, being that you are a blacksmith, being that you create these knives, these swords, like how many swords do you own, Jason?
I only own two swords and I've never even made one for myself because it takes so long to make one. I never have that amount of time. I can just make something for myself. So it's like, I don't know. It takes me like 2 or 3 weeks to make a sword. And so once I've invested 3 weeks into it, I have to sell it. I have to make money for those 3 weeks. So yeah, I only have two and there were not ones I've made. So they're just like stage swords. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Mm. I've made a bunch of them. I'm just don't get to see them anymore. Sometimes the people will send me pictures of them like holding them and stuff like that. So that's always good to see.
All right, man. Two more questions for you. These are random ones. Okay. So Eternal Champion, you guys are, you know, people love seeing you guys, but probably haven't played very many bad shows with Eternal Champion. But being that you're a musician, well, that you shaking your head has me maybe second guessing about that. But my question is, you know, being a musician since you were in your teens, what's the worst show you've ever played that you can think of?
Worst show,
maybe least attended or just least worst performance by you guys, screw ups, just anything.
I was thinking of some shows that are least attended, but that doesn't even mean that it was bad, because Far From Breaking definitely played some shows where we played to like seven people, you know. But Iron Age, there was a few shows in New York where we just didn't weren't taking care of ourselves. Let's say it like that. I don't even think we could finish the set. I mean, we were in that bad of shape, you know. I think we just we kind of just all said we're all set after about three songs. And I can't even remember where that show was. It was such a blur. We were just in bad shape. So maybe it was at the cake shop.
Okay.
That makes sense. not the cake. I'm alluding to, I can't even really remember it well, but I remember that we were in such bad shape we had to quit playing. So that had to be the worst show.
Fair enough. And my last question for you, man, pick a scar on your body. Show me if you can, but at least tell me the story of how you got the scar.
Scar. Oh, So right here, you can't tell because I shaved my head clean, but I have a bad burn scar right here. We used to have bottle rocket wars when we were like teenagers. Actually, this was when I was 20 or 21. This is a Far From Breaking era thing because we were straight edge. So we just did.
You had the poker, yeah.
Right. So we had like bottle rocket wars, and my friend Daryl, we were putting the bottle rockets in like a, you know, 1-inch PVC pipe, and that would be like the gun, you know, so we could like throw it in there and like shoot each other like this, like it was a bazooka. And he just hit me right in the back of the head, and it bruised and burned my head back here, and it was just like purple and burnt for like a month. And yeah, it's still weird back there. I can still feel like little scars and stuff. And I have like all these little BB gun scars. We were also just like shooting each other with BB guns when we were kids. So I just have those kind of all over my legs and arms. Yeah, pretty stupid.
You're a straight edge kid that had too much time on your hands and just shooting each other with tons of weapons.
Yeah, right. That's what we did. Potato guns, BB guns, bottle rockets. That was just I don't know, our idea of fun, I guess.
Again, Eternal Champion going to be playing Northwest Terror Fest, and that's going down. You can get your tickets now, we're stoked to see you, man. Any final words for the Northwest or for Metal Shop?
No, we're excited to be at Northwest Terror Fest. We're looking forward to it. We'll see you there.
Right on, man. See you then, Jason.
All right, see you there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly.